Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. This is something that I've been thinking about for the past, maybe a month or so, maybe 2 months. I can't really remember right now exactly when the thought came into my mind and heart and began praying about it. But part of the experience that I just had over the last couple of days has kind of fast-forwarded ahead, and that's this theme, this kind of a thought, really, asking for the impossible. Asking for the impossible. And I'm sure I don't mean asking me or asking you, asking God, but asking for the impossible. I was thinking about that hymn as we were praying, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible. And so I'm sure tonight that there are things in your life, I know there are things in my life, that on the human side of my thinking process, I would say, that's impossible. That's impossible. And humanly speaking, we read in the Bible different things, and we're going to look at several passages tonight, and I just remember that one question in the Bible, is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, it's a rhetorical question. We know the answer. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He's omnipotent, right? He's all-powerful. So there's nothing with God that is impossible. And a very familiar couple of verses here in Ephesians chapter number 3, the last two verses of Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly," and we'll focus on that word just as we're reading it, "above." Above, if you underline words or circle words, above, that's the impossible. It doesn't say impossible, but I believe that's what we can mean by that word. Above all that we ask or think. Because let's be honest, there's times where we don't ask for the impossible. Why? Because we think it's impossible. So why ask? Well, I don't really believe that God wants us to only ask for the things that we think are possible. You and I may think this is possible, and it may be more of a complex situation than what we think is impossible. Let's leave all of that up to God. Let's not get in the habit of labeling situations as doable or impossible, because it says here that he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless now this teaching, preaching time. As we look at several passages of Scripture, Lord, I pray that just that would be the case, that the Scripture would be illuminated by the Holy Spirit of God, and that in our hearts tonight we would be determined in a more tangible way to live our life, that we don't shy away from asking for the impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that Jesus said, or one of his first commands that he made in Luke chapter number 2, and we won't turn there for time, but in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, you may write that down, or you may turn there. But he said, as they was pointing to the fields that were white unto harvest, he said, "Pray ye therefore, pray ye therefore." And while this message isn't necessarily about prayer, the ingredients of prayer, we are going to look at some prayers in the Bible. Because that's what when we think about asking for the impossible from God, that's when we go to our time of asking. At least, that's not the only time of what prayer is about, but just what we're thinking about tonight, okay? And I think we all know this. God is able to provide anything. God is able to provide everything. God is able to accomplish no matter what we think is so difficult. God is able to accomplish it. In this trip that I just took, God really challenged me. And if I drove for 17 to 19 hours for this, it was worth all the driving. 15 years ago, this whole journey began about this property for a camp. And for many, many years, this particular man, Brother Bill is his name, a rancher in Montana. I didn't know anything. I mean, this is Brother Bill, about this tall, a little bit stocky, very unassuming. You know, some people, when they walk in a building or walk in a room, they just kind of have this, I'm in charge. Doesn't mean they're prideful about it. They just have this look. Not Brother Bill. You wouldn't have been able to pick out Brother Bill out of anybody there and said, that's the rancher that's worth millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Because that's what he's worth. 15 years ago, he found a piece of land that he thought was the land for the camp. He bought that land. That land had water, had a body of water, a lake on it, or a pond on it. And it was a very beautiful piece of land. He bought a piece of land beside it. He bought another piece of land beside it. This is the one. He somehow got connected with Pastor Boyle, who you met a few weeks ago. It was here preaching for the Baptist Friends, and then on Sunday. And this is going to be the camp. This is going to be the land. And then it came to the end of, I think it was the end of the President Bush before Obama. And then Obama came in, and again, this isn't a political message, but they had a great recession. And he sat on this land. While he was sitting on this land and waiting, and different things were happening, and value was going down, and he was losing millions. In fact, he lost over $4 million during that time. I thought this was the land, and this isn't going anywhere, and this isn't happening. And finally, they came to the decision, I'm going to have to sell. And he thought, this is not what God wanted. You know what he said? He said, the day, and he was giving a testimony, he said, the day that I sold, as soon as I sold, and basically said, God, he said it this way. He said, as soon as I got out of the way, that same day he got a phone call about this land that we just were on the last 2 days. You see, the land that he had bought 15 years ago was not developed. There wasn't one building on any of that land. They would have had to have developed all the land. The land that they own now has all the buildings on it. It has everything on it. I mean, amazing. Just amazing. And the point is this. 15 years, though. And the transaction just happened yesterday. To finalize and get everything finalized on that first phase. 15 years of praying. 15 years of seeking God's face. 15 years of wondering, is this going to come into a reality? Nothing is impossible for God. He is able to provide. He is still performing miracles. You believe that God performs miracles in 2019? Yes, He does. God does. You read these stories in the Bible, they are not there simply for us to read about and say, wow, God used to do miracles. No, I read these and I say, what does Hezekiah, we're going to look at him in just a minute, what does Hezekiah have on me? Nothing. What does Hezekiah have on you? Nothing. We have the same access to the same powerful God that Hezekiah did. Turn over to 2 Kings, please, chapter number 19. 2 Kings, chapter number 19. We're at a time in Israel's history here. I was reading this passage today. We're at a time in Israel's history here where it looks really, really bad. And we know that Israel was a roller coaster, much like we are sometimes spiritually. Up, then down, up, then down. And this isn't a message about Israel's history, but I think we can be reminded of that and we can recognize that. And there's a great blessing here, and something that I just could not get over, and it was just kind of meditating on it and thinking about it. Let's look at Isaiah. 2 Kings 19. Isaiah's involved in it, but that's why I almost said go to Isaiah. It's actually a cross-reference for this particular event in Isaiah chapter 37, but 2 Kings chapter 19. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhakah, King of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee. You think, listen to that. Don't let the God you trust in pull the wool over your eyes. Don't let him deceive you. Saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands. Haven't you heard about our resume? We're pretty powerful. Don't think for a minute that the God that you serve is going to do anything to us. We've been wiping out lands. We've been wiping out kings one right after another. That's what it says. Verse 11, by destroying them, look at that word, utterly. 2 Kings 19:11. And shalt thou be delivered? What makes you think your God is going to be able to do anything that the other little g gods haven't been able to do anyway? And he talks about that. Look at verse 12. I'm not going to read it, but it's there. Look at that. He gives a list. Verse 13, he lists the kings of the nations. Where are they? They've been wiped out. Hezekiah received the letter. This is where I just was reading this over and over again. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. Okay, so a messenger comes with a letter from Sennacherib and he gives it to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah reads the letter, and in the letter is the verses that we just read. You know, don't think for a minute that your God that you trust in has got a chance against me and our army, the Assyrian army, because of all that we've been able to do. And Hezekiah, verse 14, notice his reaction to the letter. He went up into the house of the Lord. The first thing that Hezekiah did was got alone with God. He didn't go to somebody, a general. He didn't call someone, a trusted servant. And I love the writing. I love the wording here. He spread it before the Lord. What did he spread before the Lord? The letter, right? I got to thinking about that. You know, we've been working with the city of Burnaby. I don't know if we're going to go to the elementary school or not. I don't know, but I'm just using this. This is something the Lord laid on my heart. And we got this contract, and it's 4 times what we're paying right now, give or take. And we've already whittled it down once. I think, you know what? When I read that, when I look at that contract, it reminds me of, in a way, it reminds me of the letter. And I was thinking about that even this afternoon. I was thinking, you know what? I need to print that contract out. I need to have more time alone with God. I need to just lay that contract out before God and say, God, this is the contract. I don't know if we're going to be there. I'm just saying, this is something God was teaching me this afternoon, actually. I was thinking about what I observed in the last 2 days and kind of trying to process all of it in my head, a little foggy-headed right now, but I was trying to think about it. You know what? What is there? What is there that you've been given? It may not be a physical letter like Hezekiah was given. It may not be a contract like I'm talking about, but there's something that God has put into your life, and maybe you could write it out on a piece of paper, and you could get alone with God on a regular basis and lay that piece of paper before God and just take that thing to Him, whatever it is, and bring it to God. We don't have to go to our church family first. We don't have to go to the pastor even first. A great lesson is listed here by Hezekiah. He got alone with God. When is the last time we got alone with God about the impossible? This is what King Hezekiah did. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims. Verse 15, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. You know, I think it's more than appropriate for us to even take this verse, lay that thing before the Lord, and literally just use the word of God as we pray. That's a very powerful thing, and it ought to be incorporated into our prayer life. And just say, just like Hezekiah, why reinvent the wheel, right? Oh, Lord God of Israel. And pray that prayer right there. And think of it. What is it tonight? What is it tonight that if God would do it tomorrow in your life, if something were to happen tomorrow that seems impossible, think about what that is on your heart right now and on your shoulders that you're carrying. Lord, bow down thine ear. Verse 16. And hear, open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him. Did God already know what he wrote? Yes. God already knew what he wrote. And God, here it is. Here's this need that I have. See, God, it's right here. Here's the burden right here, God. Maybe it's immigration. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an unknown situation that is on the horizon or whatever. Whatever it may be, why don't we write it out? I mean, that's what the prayer page is. But, you know, we have this prayer request over here. Maybe we don't have it on here right now, but we've had it before, silent requests. Sometimes those silent requests are things that are so intimate to in our heart that we really don't want to even tell anybody about it. But you know what? We can take that silent request and we can put it on a piece of paper and we can lay it before God and get along with God just like Hezekiah did. And we can say just like Hezekiah did, hey God, I believe in a reverential way, hey God, look right here. Look what's on here. God, look, he says it right there in verse number 16. See what Sennacherib has written? Verse 17. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. You know, I love it. The honesty. God, it's true. Sennacherib and those Assyrian soldiers, they're powerful. It's true, God. Those soldiers and that Assyrian army and Sennacherib, they're intimidating. And it's true, God, that whatever is written right here on this page, it's true, God, that it seems insurmountable. And it's true, God, that in the past I haven't believed that you could do anything about this. And it's true, God, that my faith has been weak. And he says there in verse number 18, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods. Of course they defeated those gods because they weren't gods. Of course they defeated those things, those statues made of wood, because they're not like you. They're not the living, holy, powerful God. They're simply the work of men's hands. Verse number 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, I beg of thee, I implore thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. God, I've got this thing written down here, right here, God. See it right here. God, see it? That's what he said. God, see what that king wrote. See what that he blasphemed your name. He said that he was gonna destroy us because our God is just like those wooden gods. We know tonight here on this July evening, 2019, to the 24th of July, we know tonight that our God is so big. He's strong and mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. But I think we need to look at the impossible things and not shy away from the impossible things anymore. We need to write them down on a piece of paper and lay them before God. God, right here. God, my family members lost. There's their name. God, save them. God, please send somebody to my family member halfway around the world. Give them the gospel. It's impossible. Verse 20. I love verse 20. And I tell you what, every word of God is, every verse of Scripture is inspired. It's infallible. Praise the Lord for the infallible word of God. Amen. But I tell you what, when you read these slowly and you take them all in, it's amazing what God's word does to us. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, the same Isaiah that wrote Isaiah, sent to Hezekiah saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." So he's just had this God and me time. He's just had this alone time with God, and he's just laid it out before God, and he's told God what he already knew. By the way, everything we tell God in prayer, he already knows. That doesn't mean he doesn't want to hear from us. And then the prophet, the man of God, Isaiah, writes a letter. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria," and I tell you what, circle these three words, underline them, mark them, put stars all around them, "I have heard." Amen? And why would God hear from Hezekiah and God not hear from us? And I understand there are things that prevent God from hearing us. We've talked about those things in the past. That's not really the truth that I want to major on tonight. And yes, sin in our life is going to prevent those things. But I'm just saying, all things being equal, and my heart is in tune with the Lord, and I've got the sin of my life confessed before God, there's no reason why I can't take my paper and my letter before God, just like Hezekiah did, and write it and say, "God, there it is. I need you to meet the need. God, I'm going to keep coming back." Like the woman in the gospel record, importunate, just kept coming back and back and back. The king finally said, "Enough." I love that. "I have heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee at the scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high against the Holy One of Israel?" I'm just skipping down here. Verse 32. Thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, "He shall not come into this city." I love the wording. "Nor shoot an arrow there." He's not only not coming into this city, he's not getting close enough to shoot an arrow into this city. "Nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." And it came to pass that night, many of you know this story, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000 soldiers. God just done. Could Hezekiah have done that? No. God can do anything. And when they arose early, in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. Good move. He gets word that 185,000 soldiers died overnight. He went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. It came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword. His own boys killed him. And they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. See, Sennacherib had a problem. But before we pick on Sennacherib, we have the same problem sometimes. Sennacherib thought that the God of Israel was no different than the other little gods. That's exactly why he wrote the letter. You better start getting ready to die, because you're going down. That's the Turner International version of that letter. You're going down. And here's our resume. King so-and-so dead. King so-and-so dead, and so forth. All these gods burnt. And your God and you are next. See, he had a problem. He thought that Israel's God was like all the other gods. You know what? I'm not like Sennacherib, and we're not like Sennacherib in that he was a pagan-worshipping king. But we sometimes have the same, we can have the same type thinking. That our God can't do this. That's exactly what Sennacherib thought. Your God can't do this. And that is what? Take care of me. I'm going to wipe you out because your God can't take care of me. And tonight, if we're not careful, we can get brought into that same mentality that when it comes to this, we've put God in a box. He can't do it. But you see, Israel's God, just like your God and my God tonight, is the living God. And our God doesn't put up with the likes of Sennacherib. Hezekiah went, followed a pattern that we need to follow. What is the pattern? We just talked about it. As soon as he got the news, stop. Time to go seek the Lord. You know what? And can we put that into our life tonight? Maybe that's in your life already. Great, keep it there. Maybe we need to do that about everything. When we're able to, I know we might be in the middle of driving down the road or something like that, but even then we can bring it to the Lord in prayer. But how about we practice that? How about we get a piece of paper tonight when we get home and we write down some things on that piece of paper that we fear? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are things in my life and in your life right now that, to be honest, we fear them. We fear them. I'm not talking about, you know, we're scared of the dark. I'm saying we fear next week because this is coming, or we fear a financial need that we have, or we fear, and again, let's look at it as a church. We fear, or we're concerned, or we worry about the next meeting location. You know, we need to, and we have it on our prayer page, I understand that, but I think we need to make it more personal. You have some personal things, and I have some personal things that need to be written out, and we need to lay them before the God of heaven. And we need to lay them before the God of heaven, and then we need to do just like Hezekiah. Let's look at verse 15. We're just about done. I have more, but we'll look at it next week. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, let's look at it one more time. O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God. The God, right? Not a God. Thou art the God. After he had just read that letter about all the little gods, thou art the God. Even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, and open thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. We have a big God. He is able to provide the impossible. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Let's get our above list tonight, and let's lay it before the Lord. He is still in the business of performing miracles. Hezekiah gives us one example. We'll look at more next week.